Open in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7 and follow along with me. Heather Stako read this parable earlier. We'll read it again. Matthew 7 began at verse 24 through 27. Jesus said, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our Lord stands forever. Thanks be to God." We believe that this word, the Bible, and not merely the paper and ink contained between leather or cardboard, but the content of the Bible, that this is the Word of God, the very Word of God. In the Covenant Church, including Bloomington Covenant Church, in our denomination, we phrase what we believe about the Bible like this. We believe that the Holy Scriptures, the Old and New Testaments, are the Word of God and the only perfect rule for faith, doctrine, and conduct. The only perfect rule for faith, doctrine, and conduct. And by rule, we don't mean only a command or a law that we need to adhere to. A rule is also something that we measure everything by, a standard, like a ruler or a benchmark, something that we consider to be solid and firmly founded as so many other things shift and change and contort. And so we ask, how does the Bible speak into this situation? How do I remain faithful to God's word in this utterly complicated mess? How do we hold on in a rapidly changing world? We keep coming back to God's word. I love the way that Dr. Klein Snodgrass, who teaches at our seminary in Chicago, how he puts it. He's one of the most astute Bible teachers I've ever heard. He puts it something like this. If you live your life in this direction, toward God, knowing God's word and seeking God's will, things will go well with you and our God. We need not be afraid, because He loves us and He has plans for us. And the Bible is His story of love intervening in the world. The Bible, God's word, is our primary text for life. It's where we find out about God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. As Eugene Peterson puts it, the Bible reveals to us a God-created, God-ordered, God-blessed world in which we find ourselves at home and where we find ourselves whole in His Word, in this world He's created for us. These are words to live, to explore, to ponder, to talk about, to pray through, to chew on, to absorb into our very beings, just like our bodies need food to be intentionally taken in and chewed and digested and absorbed into our whole body so we can be engaged in life and have a strong immune system and fight off diseases and move around. So it is with God's Word. God has given it to us to take in, take and eat it, and to be absorbed. And then, as one writer put it, it is then metabolized into acts of love and cups of cold water given and mission into all the world and healing and justice all done in Jesus' name. This is why knowing God's word is so essential for the people of God, for followers of Jesus Christ. This is what we've been hearing from our friends this morning in their litany of words about Scripture. Roy having the words of Joshua as anchoring words for his life and his family. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And Peggy with those beautiful words from Isaiah 40 about rising up like on wings of eagles and running and not being faint in the image of your parents, Peggy. And Mark sharing that promise from Philippians about God giving strength to do all things, His power at work in us beyond what we can comprehend. And Addison, missing Anne Marie today. These young sisters claiming that promise from that same letter of Paul's Philippians, that we don't need to be anxious about anything. We can present everything before God, and He'll guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. What a beautiful promise to claim. And Sharon with the powerful prayer of Habakkuk. That when there's no cattle in the stalls, no fruit in the vines, no money in the bank, fill in the blanks, yet I will still praise my God, regardless. And Priscilla and the poignant truth of Jesus in John 10, that our Lord, the Good Shepherd, with we being His sheep, He calls us. He goes out before us. He knows us. We know His voice. And Heather picking a text that she didn't know ahead of time would be the sermon text for today about these two builders. One building on rock, one building on sand. And when the storm came and beat furiously upon these houses, one stood firm and the other fell. Knowing God's word is an essential practice in life. Reading it, learning it, absorbing it like food, and with the gracious help of the Holy Spirit who accompanies us and who comes alongside of us as we open our lives to God's Word by His grace, then allowing God's living Word to come in and begin to work in our minds and hearts and how we perceive the world and how we make decisions and how we interact. And this is why I am passionate about every single one of us. Every single one of us to be actively working with and digging into and understanding more and more God's Word, including our first graders who got these Bibles today, and including any of us in the room today who might describe ourselves as not being a reader, or any of us who've got those schedules that are so overwrought and overscheduled, where we are so busy. Knowing God's Word is an essential practice. It's how we come to know God and how God moves and what He does and what He promises. These are words for life. And as I've said many times before, if you don't have a Bible of your own, take the one in front of you. Take it as a gift, as a tool. We also have a couple stacks of Bibles near this entrance and by the south entrance. They're green, they're paperback. They're to be taken, given away, used. When those are gone, we're ordering more. We all need to have a Bible and to be working with it. There is so much more to say about how beautiful and how powerful and how life-changing God's Word is. The parable from Jesus in Matthew's Gospel sums up so much of it. That this is the foundation for life. And without this foundation for our lives, when the storms come, it's like we've built on sand. So let me tell you two brief stories about two role models in my life in this regard. The first one is about a pastor who I hope I can be like someday. He's one of my heroes. Some of you will remember him, Pastor Art Fredheim. Pastor Fredheim was a pastor here years ago from 1964 to 1970, and his picture's on the wall down this hallway. When I was on my internship about 25 years ago at Brookdale Covenant Church in Brooklyn Center, Art Fredheim was retired and was serving part-time as a chaplain up at Covenant Village. As an intern, I was basically learning the ropes about what it was to be a pastor and not even sure if I was called to be a pastor or if I even wanted to be a pastor. But I was working with Paul Erickson at Brookdale Covenant Church, and he was doing his best to, to sharpen that sense of call. But about 1 month into my time there, Paul left for Chicago for a board meeting for a week. And among other things that I did, I called one of the older women in the church and offered to pick her up and take her to visit her husband at a nursing home. So I picked up Harriet. We drove to the nursing home. We walked into her husband's room, and she said, "He doesn't look so good." And he was dead. And I stood there with not a clue as to what to do. I had no idea. And Paul Erickson was in Chicago. So I called Art Fredheim, who I knew just a little bit. And Art talked me down. And he told me what he would do in that situation and gave me some scripture verses to share with Harriet, who was sobbing. So I read these passages. I prayed with Harriet, brought her home, gave her as much comfort as I could, got home and called Art and said, "I have no idea what to do next." So this gentleman's funeral would be in a few days, and condensing things, Art Fredheim agreed to walk with me through the funeral service. And you have to know that at this point in his life, Art was completely blind. So his wife, Edna, drove him up to the church, and Art and I met at the back of the sanctuary, and he took my arm, and he said, "Okay, you begin here, and you do this, and then this happens, and that happens, and then you preach, and then you pray, then the benediction, and that's it." And I was terrified. He read into that right away, and he said, "How about if I preach?" I said, "That'd be great. Yes, thank you." A few days later, I led worship at this funeral. And when it came time for the sermon, I walked down to a pew and I gave Art my arm and guided him up to the pulpit. And he stood in the pulpit. And he preached so powerfully, weaving together one passage of scripture after another, all about hope and resurrection in the face of death, completely blind physically. He had God's word so deeply embedded in his life, it came out so fluidly. I want to be more like Art Fredheim. If God takes my eyes away, I want to be more like Art Fredheim was. I also want to be more like my mom. So forgive a personal example here. She would be very embarrassed by my mentioning her from the pulpit, but I'm going to go ahead anyway. I'll apologize later. Some of you know her, Elaine Johnson. She's 86 years old. She lives at Colonial Acres in Golden Valley. And she is truly a blessing to us. She's a delight. She is gracious. She's thoughtful. She is so focused on the needs of others. And I'm honored to say that I have a genuinely Christ-like mother. Bit by bit, dementia is taking away her memory. So her sphere of life is getting smaller and smaller, a tighter and tighter ring. Sometime back when I was visiting her, I picked up her well-worn Bible that she has used for so many years, and I began to read some very familiar passages out loud, beginning with Psalm 23. And I heard her whispering along with me. So I moved a little more broadly. I moved into the letters of Paul and into Hebrews and into the prophets and into the Psalms, maybe 15 or 20 different texts. And I'd get partway through one and I'd stop and she would just keep going. One after another, and finally I said, "Mom, you really know your Bible?" And she said, "Well, a little bit. Your dad, he was really the Bible scholar. My father was the pastor." And I said, "But you've been nailing these one after another after another." She said, "Well, when you read the Bible every day, things begin to stick." And I said, "Well, how long have you been reading the Bible every day?" Knowing she's read it every day my whole life, she said, "Well, I began when I was a little girl, reading it morning and night. And I can't remember ever not doing that. When you do it long enough, things begin to stick." I want to be more like my mom. Every morning, every evening, anchoring on this solid rock foundation of God's Word. And I want to be more like Art Fredheim. And I want to be more like the people who are maybe coming to mind for you. And I hope you want to be like this too. To be people who know and live God's Word in such a living way that it's not just memorized and out there as a memory verse, but it's taken in and absorbed and you live it. And when the storms come, and they do, we know that. And maybe some of you are in a storm right now. When these storms come and they rattle and shake us to the very core of our being, Jesus put it in the parable this way. Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice, puts them into life, is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against the house, but it didn't fall because it was built on this solid rock. May we live this way, living into the essential practice of working with and knowing and absorbing God's living Word. Please pray with me. Lord Jesus Christ, by your grace, we are here. And you have given us these words of life. And for all of us, whatever is in us that keeps us from digging in deeper, busyness or tiredness or some other point of resistance that it's even hard to put a finger on, by the power of your Holy Spirit, would you relieve us from that and open your Word? Grow us according to your will, fitting with your Word. Because to you belongs all the glory and all the honor and all the thanks now and forever. And we want our lives to live this way. We pray all of this in your name. Amen.